Hi, this is Frank Todaro, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello, and welcome to episode 89 of Falca, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going. Today is the 89th day of summer, and that means it is the day that we get back to our Phineas and Ferb review podcast for 2021. And of course, we are ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym. We only have technically two episodes, but one episode tonight, folks. We have Sidetracked.
Well, there's no catching up to them now.
Agent P, we just received word you're on Canadian soil. We don't have jurisdiction there. Stand down. That's an order.
Sorry, Agent P, our hands are tied.
Carl, don't interrupt me. Return to headquarters pronto.
Sorry.
Agent P is stuck in the social conventions. And he is stuck between two countries.
Nice.
Agent P teams up with a former partner, a human agent named Lila Lollyberry, to stop a hijacked train running along the U.S.-Canadian border. In a past mission, they had a falling out, so Agent P must decide whether or not he can trust Lila and her unique sense of Canadian logic to get them through the mission. Defeat Doofenshmirtz. I added the Canadian part, folks. It does not actually say that in the Wikipedia article.
It's an improvement.
And save the train's passengers and Canada's national treasure, a moose named Albert.
I think Gary Chalk should be Canada's national treasure.
He's actually Gary Chalk, Scott McNeil.
Scott McNeil.
Ian James Corlett. David Kaye, even though he lives in L.A. now.
Yeah, of that group, Gary Chalk is the only one that wished me a happy birthday. So, you know, aww. Gary Chalk should be, yeah, he should be the national treasure of Canada.
Yes, well.
Teared up a little bit just thinking about it. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. Anyway.
So, Canada, eh? Yeah, Canada, eh?
Yeah. We were sidetracked there for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was really going to like this episode because it opens up with a chase scene with Agent P trying to foil a heist.
And yeah, it's awesome. This is not your average Phineas and Ferb episode.
No, no. I mean, yeah, they toss out a lot of the conventions, which is fine because they start off with this awesome chase scene. It's got a heavy rock soundtrack in the background. There's actual, like, secret agent stuff going on. Agent P has a motorcycle. He looks ridiculous driving a motorcycle, but it's got a beaver tail with lasers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver tail with frickin' lasers.
Yes.
And it's just surprising that Perry's doing something other than punching Doofenshmirtz in the nose.
Yeah.
It's like they've been given permission for other stuff to actually happen here.
Yeah, and I kind of like it. It's kind of cool.
I really liked it, pretty much, up until I didn't, because it got really slow. And I think that's where the previous episode, the bee story, the story of the bees, it improved things because it jumped around chronologically and kept you thinking, whereas this one is just kind of boring. And they spend most of the time on a train.
Well, it is Canada, eh?
Yeah. And then I introduced a new character that I don't terribly care for.
I was hoping she was going to be somebody super, super famous. She's not.
She's not. Exactly. But Canadian actress, which is nice, but she didn't sound Canadian.
No, she sounded like a Canadian actress trying to fake Canadian.
She sounded like a Canadian actress trying to fake Southern.
Yeah.
I got the Southern in there, and I'm just like, okay, so we have, the equivalent of Pauka in Canada is not fully staffed by fedora-wearing animals.
No.
Which I thought was odd. The Pauka in Africa has had animals.
Yeah.
But not Canada.
Well, Canada, I mean, what are they going to do? Deputize all their mooses?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if I was honestly expecting Albert the Moose to put on a fedora at the end.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. And I'm like, what's that about?
Yeah. What's that about?
It's my favorite Canadian word, by the way. What's all this about? But no, it didn't sound like Canadian at all. And I know Canadian, because I've watched a lot of South Park. And, Terrence and Terrence, I forget the other one's name.
Terrence and Phillip.
Terrence and Phillip.
Okay, this is firmed up, folks, because he's just stated he has watched a lot of South Park. Yet I am the one who has maybe watched 5 episodes of that entire show, along with bigger, longer.
You know Terrence and Phillip.
And I know Terrence and Phillip. Yeah.
I almost said Terrence and Howard, but Terrence Howard is like an actor.
That's next time, baby.
Terrence Howard, what? So anyway, it's just funny because I thought it was going to be like people who sounded Canadian, or at least vaguely French.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what I think of. When I think of Canadians, it's like, back off, hoser, eh? and then people who sound vaguely French.
Yeah.
But yeah, Agent Lila. Not an animal, no fedora, no Canadian accent. Just was not as thrilled, to be honest.
The best part about this episode for me, and I'll let you finish your thought. I'm sorry, but the best part was...
Wait, P, that's the Canadian side of the train.
Ow. I think I'm going back to the Canadian side.
I got this.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm on the American side now. You can't touch me. Oh, Canada. America. Ow. Oh, it's on now.
For William Ho in the War of 1812. Look it up, kids. I got him, Pete. Hold it. Ooh, sorry. Where is he?
Oh, Agent P. P, you got to get him back on the American side of the train. You can't fight him on the Canadian side of the train. I'm like, are you kidding me over here? That's hilarious. Yeah,
there is no train that straddles the Canadian border.
But if you paint one side red and the other side blue, apparently that's the Canadian border. I mean, it's not like they built a wall. Oh,
well,
wait.
Well, no, they built a Great Lake. There's a the border to Canada is the Great Lakes. It's just strange. I don't know. It seemed odd. But, you know, of course the bathroom is on the American side.
Of course it is.
Because we're stinky.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And the bathroom has ice skaters on it. Well, actually, I think it's unisex because it has a figure skater and a hockey skater.
I don't know.
It was clever, but I was like, that bathroom's on the wrong side. That bathroom's on the American side. And, okay. You know, we don't have those things here.
You know, you were talking about the opening scene earlier, and
yeah.
Is it just me, or did it feel like the animation team kicked it up a notch or something? Because that opening animation was not your standard Phineas and Ferb animation to me.
You know, I got the feeling that a lot of this was done by a different animation house, because if you watch through the whole thing, there's a lot of shadows.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not used to seeing so much shadow in Phineas and Ferb. I mean, it's like you're standing in a seat and I'm watching the shadow behind him in the seat. And I'm like, that's weird. I don't think I've ever seen that before in Phineas and Ferb. And maybe, you know, next week we'll watch it and be like, yeah, I guess there is a lot of shadows. But not just shadows like behind people or under people, but like shadows on their clothing, on their faces. It's like there's this external light source that follows them around. And they have to include it in the animation.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's really weird. I don't remember this so much. But it made me wonder if it was the same or maybe if they were going for a particular style that's different from what they normally do, or and maybe you're right. Maybe their style does include chase scenes.
Maybe.
It was real. This first like 2-3 minutes, really cool. Really had high hopes for this episode after that.
They suckered you in, did they?
They drug me in there and then let me down. They lifted me up with high hopes and they dropped me down. There's a whole song about teamwork and hand carts.
I could do without it.
Yeah. You know, and listening to Lila sing, this is, you know, where she paired with the two Southern to be from Canada. Yeah. Doof's Jingle is his ringtone.
Yep.
So you get the Doof, it's where it's Evil Incorporated, but it's his phone.
Yep.
And he's like, what? It's like, why is my phone ringing?
Actually, this episode is the first time it is revealed that both Doof and Perry have smartphones.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't really notice much in the episode about it, but I'm like, which one has the Android? Which one has the iPhone? It's a smartphone war, folks.
Yeah. I'm a Mac, and I'm a PC.
Oh, you had to break. God. Okay, so just for, because I wanted to see if they, I know they had done some new thing, like one little new thing with Mac and PC.
Uh-huh.
But I went back to YouTube the other day, a couple weeks ago, whenever this episode is going to actually air kind of thing. And I looked up, because people have the, you know, compilation of all, like, it's 38 minutes. Of Mac and P, complete 66
really?
Mac versus PC ads, plus Mac and PC WWDC intro plus Siri. So yeah, they have all of this, and I'm like, it's 38 minutes, and I'm like, oh wow, I miss this advertising, because don't get me wrong, I like Apple's advertising, but
yeah.
I am severely staunched in Samsung at this point, but.
Yeah,
I just wish that they would bring Mac versus PC back. And I hope I'm not saying this and not realizing that I'm pretty sure they're both alive.
It's Justin Long as the Mac and John Hodgman as the PC.
Yep. I'm pretty sure they're both alive. So.
Well,
I don't know. Certain things can happen, and you know,
ago, it looks like Hodgman came back for some commercials, so he's not dead yet.
There we go. Escape well, with a bullet.
I know it's like, you know, COVID over the last year. You don't know who's dead.
That's my point. Like, come on now. But I just love watching those old Mac versus PC ads, because They're so hilarious. And yeah, between that and that, Dodgeball and Die Hard 4 is the most I've ever seen of Justin Long.
Yeah, that's funny.
Anyway, back to Sidetracked, because we just got sidetracked, folks.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did we get on that tangent?
I don't even know at this point.
Something about Deuce Ringtone. And...
Oh, they both have cell phones. And then I said...
Oh, well, yeah, because it's a Mac and a PC. Yeah, all right. Well, that sidetrack, that took us... Oh, it's a train! That's where Sidetracked comes from.
Of course.
Now I feel dumb. I'm not very bright. All right, so every scene with the boys in this episode is shown from Perry's point of view. So yep. You only see, like, their ankles.
Yeah. Until the very end of the episode.
Then they bend over.
Yeah.
Or kneel down, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get to the end of the episode, and it's like, I forgot there was a moose in this episode. It's Albert the Moose.
Albert the Moose, who is apparently the most royal moose in all of Canada.
He's royal?
I don't know. There's a scene where he's, like, being primped and prepped, and, like, he's the last Canadian national treasure of mooses.
He's wearing cufflinks. He must be important.
He must be.
So the fact that he's wearing cufflinks, cupheads, you know, it's funny you mentioned cuphead. There was actually, like, something very cupheadish in this. Well, let me finish my thought. He's wearing cufflinks. I honestly assumed he was going to put on the fedora and fight at the end. Because he's already wearing clothes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So at the end, you know, you actually meet the Canadian supervillain named Bannister.
Mm-hmm.
And he is voiced by Agent Pleakley from Lilo and Stitch.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's all I hear is Pleakley. Mm-hmm. I can't not see Pleakley when he speaks. It's funny. And it's a guy. It's one of the guys from Kids in the Hall.
Yep.
Back in the day, right? But I just hear Pleakley when I hear him. And you know, they're fighting on a helicopter, and it's like helicopter fight.
We're gonna have an old fashioned helicopter fight.
Oh, a helicopter fight. Things can get really nasty. I'm just gonna go play cards.
If you're looking for action, better hold on tight. Helicopter fight. Helicopter fight. Looks like we got ourselves a helicopter fight. Helicopter fight. Helicopter fight. To remove any confusion from ambiguous writing. Helicopter fight. Helicopter fight. This is people fighting on a helicopter, not two helicopters fighting. Oh, though that would have been cool. Yeah. It might have been more exciting. What do you think? Let's take a look. No, that looked better in my head. Let's just get back to the action. That was really pretty lame. I apologize for the distraction. This is a helicopter fight. People fighting on a helicopter. This is a helicopter fight. This is a helicopter fight. Not two helicopters fighting. Oh no. We saw it, but it was only so-so.
People fighting on a helicopter! What? I have just one thing to say to you, Lila Lolidary. Oh, no!
What does Farvel mean?
It's Danish for goodbye. It's one of the languages you speak in Greenland.
And then they show...
That's the best song.
Helicopter fight? Yeah, it's pretty good. And then they show the two helicopters fighting... Helicopter fight. Ooh, that looked better in my head. And it actually reminded me of Cuphead, you know, which is a video game done in the style of the old timey cartoons, the old Max Fleischer cartoons. And I mean, it's a really cool video game. Frank Todaro, who plays Starscream in the newer Transformer Netflix stuff, he's going to do the voice of Mughead in the upcoming Cuphead Netflix series.
Yes, he is.
So if you never played Cuphead, try it out. It's like one of those bullet hell games. It's side scroller. It's got a really unique look to it. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, helicopter fight. But during the helicopter fight, there was no moose shenanigans. He didn't fight anybody. He just kind of like hung out in his cage.
Yeah.
Was transported aerially.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I know a lot of people in the U.S. Will get angry about this, but I don't know what it is about Canada, especially specifically this episode, the way they are portraying Canada.
Yeah.
Canadians are not boring people. And I am completely bored with a good 67% of this episode.
It just wasn't done very well.
Again, I think they threw the animation budget into the animation for once with that opening scene. They blew the entire budget on the opening scene with the chase and the this and the that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get a helicopter fight, even if it's cooler that it's in the style of Cuphead, like, yeah. I was expecting, like, Airwolf versus Blackout, Airwolf from the 80s versus Blackout from the 2007 Transformers movie or something.
I'd like, pay to see that,
I'd pay to see that, too.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, man, I had more fun at a Nickelback concert in 2006 than I did watching this episode.
I guess it was just a little slow. And then at the end, it's like, how do they end? They get sidetracked to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Now, I really like Niagara. I've been there a couple of times. My wife and I were seriously thinking about moving to the Niagara Peninsula.
Really?
Well, Trump had just been elected president, and we wanted to escape the country. And we were there at the time, and it's beautiful there. It's just so fantastic. And the wine is, you know, the Niagara Peninsula is fertile, and they have fantastic vineyards, and the wine is exquisite there. And it's really nice, and the weather's cold. I should say it's not that bad. It's not Canada weather, but it's Canada weather. It's here in Canada. It's cold. But, Niagara is beautiful. If you get a chance to go visit, totally do it.
The last time I was in Niagara Falls, it was almost 30 years ago, and I went over in a barrel.
Ooh, that must have hurt.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
So, because I know people are going to listen to this and say, what the furb is he talking about? In 1992, my father at the time, not that he was never not my father, but my father at the time had relatives in Canada. And we went up there for a trip, and we went to Toronto, and we went to the Skylon Tower and the Panasonic Tower.
Yeah.
And everything else, and, you know, all of that. And I believe it's at the top of the Skyline or somewhere within the Skyline or somewhere around there. I could be wrong. Again, I'm trying to remember something as a 12-year-old here.
Right.
From 30 years ago. Almost 30 years ago. And they had this thing where you could go in. You could stand behind.
Right. It looked like a barrel with a hole.
This giant waterfall that looked like Niagara Falls, and it looked like you were standing in a barrel. They take your it's like getting your picture taken at the end of the roller coaster ride from whatever Disney or whatever kind of thing. So every time I tell that story, it's like, I went over Niagara Falls in a barrel and I survived.
And I got pictures to prove it.
Exactly. Well, I don't know where the picture is now. Like, I wish I still had the picture. I hope my dad still has a copy of it. But anyway, I like I said, I've only been to Canada once, and it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know how much has I know a lot has changed.
A lot has changed at Niagara. Yeah. They've put in a zip line. That goes over the falls since the last time I was there. So I want to go back and do the zip line.
I'm getting too old for this shit, folks. And I need to now clarify. Niagara Falls barrel thing was not at the Skylon. It was at Niagara. It was – God, I can't believe
they probably had it like at the visitor center or something.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
The Skylon has a rotating restaurant.
Yes, it does.
So you can look down at the falls, and if you get a good seat near the edge, you see everything. And like every 20 minutes, half an hour or so, you're directly above the falls.
Yep.
And that used to be like the coolest place to eat. But then they put the visitor center up on top of almost on top of the Canadian side of the falls. So you've got like it's like a shopping mall with a huge restaurant on alongside the river. And you can literally look down and see the water rushing. Again, if you got a good seat. We had an excellent seat right next to the falls.
Right.
But you're literally like 20 feet away from the falls going over. And they put that in. My wife and I went, before we got married, we drove out there and on like a road trip. And then we went through Canada. And then years and years later, we took the kids.
Well, now that our mission is done.
Our mission?
Maybe we could drop by Niagara Falls. It's so close by, and I've always wanted to see it.
Well, I suppose we could swing by on our way back.
Worked out for Professor Bannister. I'm sure that cloud magnetizinator was a winner.
Yeah, so we're talking about Niagara. Niagara's beautiful. If you get a chance, totally do it. I would like to go back. Chrissy and I are actually going to Myrtle Beach.
Woo-hoo! Ah, Agent P, we meet again. Oh, look at that face. I know, you work alone, but you'll see, mister, I can do it all by myself. Having someone to watch your back will be just what you need there. Hey, where are you going?
Ah, Perry the Platypus, what an unexpected... Wait. You're trapped. By societal convention. Look, we're in a fine dining environment. Everyone knows not to throw a scene in a fancy restaurant. That's right, you're trapped. Sit down.
Oh, shoot! I see we're trapped by societal convention.
Agent Lila from Calca? Is this an international team-up? Oh, you must hate that, Perry the Platypus. A loner like you?
Oh, come on. He's warming up to the idea.
Yes, obviously.
Why are you causing trouble in Canada, Doofenshmirtz?
Well, you see, I'm part of a U.S.-Canada evil scheme exchange program. I come up with a scheme, and this other Canadian guy comes up with a scheme, and we switch. I do his scheme, and he does mine.
You gonna eat those fries?
Don't touch. Anyway, I've got a little math quiz for the both of you. If a train carrying Precious Albert the Moose left British Columbia at 8 o'clock in the morning going 80 miles per hour, what time would it arrive at the Canada Day celebration? Answer? Never! Because I've tied up the conductor and taken control of the train using my remote control train operator-inator. Right now, we are all headed to my scheme exchange partner's secret fortress. Hey, cut it out. Those are mine. Seriously, I can get the waiter over here if you want to order your own, but please.
This evil exchange partner of yours, what's his name?
I think his name was Sir Railing or Dr. Stairway or something.
Professor Bannister. Of course, my arch nemesis. Can I put some gravy on those?
Seriously, leave my lunch alone. Anyway, after Professor Bannister gets the moose, it's going to ruin Canada Day or, you know, whatever. Crazy, right?
You know what's really crazy? How good these fries are.
I am not kidding. Leave those alone. I just don't understand it. Why would you take my lunch? When you're in the dining car, you can have your own lunch. Ugh, it makes me crazy when people pick at my food. Seriously, why is your hand out like that? I'm seriously going to lose it. Now you're both doing it? Stop it. Oh, no, not even taking now, but squishing. I can't take it. That's your own lunch.
Final thoughts on Sidetracked, sir?
I think that's about it. I mean, I was underwhelmed. I'm going to give this one an underwhelming 3. You know, we just had a double episode that was amazing with the B-sides. And now we get what amounts to a double episode that is just not amazing. I mean, I feel like somebody said, "Oh, hey, you know, Canada Day is coming up. Why don't we make a show about Canada?" And they didn't give Canada Day much thought after that. They mentioned maple syrup and mooses, and they tacked a Canadian flag on it, but it didn't really convey Canada to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to mention maple syrup and mousses in Canada, and I mean, at least get the Super Troopers involved. I mean, come on. I mean, a little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
A little bit of Farva goes a long way, folks.
Saskatchewan is over there. I mean, it's like they made a short list of things that were Canadian sounding and made sure that they were all in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't even talk about the Canadian bathrooms because they're clean and they all smell like maple syrup. It's fantastic. Love Canadian bathrooms. But, yeah, I was not in love with this episode.
Yeah, no. For me, two.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, it just wasn't
brutal.
It just wasn't Canadian enough.
You know, I'm not Canadian, but it's like, I don't know. I think if there was Canadians trying to make something look vaguely American and just like messing it up, like here's an eagle with huge He-Man arms carrying a firecracker, a giant firecracker like a mace, you know?
No.
I'd be like, all right, here's someone who doesn't understand Canada or doesn't understand America trying to explain America to Americans, you know? And that's kind of what I get the feeling from here as far as Canada goes.
Yeah. Here's the American bald eagle with an afro. That's what it is.
With an afro.
Well, I mean, it's a bald eagle. He's not supposed to have hair. I mean, besides the feathers he does have, but you know what I mean. I
can see where you're going. He's voiced by Sam Jackson.
I got my eye on you.
Hey. But no, they could have, how should I put it? Uh-oh. You know, put some more
Canada into it.
Something more Canada-y. Even the backgrounds, the train is driving through these mountains, and I'm like, okay, I've driven through Canada. It doesn't look like this. It looks like more of the Midwest.
Yeah. I recently saw an episode of, I think it was an episode of Web of Lies. I watch a lot of true crime TV, folks. Okay. But anyway, on Investigation Discovery, they have a show called Web of Lies, and it's basically all about internet and, you know, stalkers and that kind of stuff. Okay. You know, meet somebody on the internet, next thing you know, you're pushing up daisies kind of thing. Well, that's, you know, that's what happened in the 90s.
That to my wife before we met, because that would have been awkward.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, we could start showing her wives with knives. That's another investigation. Anyway, that's a whole other. Anyway, point is, I recently saw an episode of this show, which I really enjoy this show because it's a different it's a different way to tell some of the true crime stories kind of thing.
Sure.
And they show this part of Canada, and I'm like, yeah, okay, eh? There's some mountains, there's some hills, but it's usually just, you know, lakes and fields and ponds and hockey. And
I thought you were going to say, like, that looks like Vancouver.
Huge difference between Washington and Canada, folks.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say before I run through the outro?
No. I think we may have said too much.
Uh-oh. Well, there is that whole section of the middle of this that I have to cut. Anyway, which I would have
you
to
cut that part too.
Yeah, I would have to cut that part too.
Cut.
Thank God Adobe Audition has a razor. Anyway. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on this and all of our other episode content from podcasts and blogs and written articles and all that good stuff. Send us some comments on the website, please. Any email that you want to send to us, use feedback@geekcastradio.com. In the subject line, just put the show and whatever episode you'd like to respond to. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course the home where our files exist, Spreaker. I still haven't checked iTunes to see if any new reviews are here, but you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. You can leave us a review on there or a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever Apple is doing with their stuff now. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. What is your Twitter, sir?
PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb Season 4, which is Not My Problem, Mindshare, and Primal Perry. Yes, folks, it is a triple shot in this one episode next time. So Not My Problem and Mindshare are a, you know, two 11-minute things, and then Primal Perry is like a part one, part two thing. So technically we are doing 4, but it really isn't 4.
Let's hope Primal Perry is better than Sidetracked.
Primal Perry, if I am remembering correctly, I think is the one where it's the dude with the boomerangs. I think.
Captain Boomerang?
No, not Captain Boomerang, but there's a dude with boomerangs.
Sure, all right. All I'm saying is double episodes should be 5s, man.
They should be. All right, well, yes, I was right.
Okay.
Primal Perry, preview for next time, folks. When Perry comes face to face with an Australian platypus hunter named Liam, who is set out on destroying him, his unwavering demeanor is threatened and his life is put in danger. He must find a way to defeat this villainous foe, rescue Doofenshmirtz from the error of his ways, and save himself from the hunt. That's nice. Not all the description, but that's just as much as I'm going to read, because we got to get the Ferb out of here.
It sounds like I'll like it, though. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's a very fun episode. A lot of boomerang, though. I was half hoping that Paul Hogan would show up somewhere as the crocodile hunter. Crocodile Dundee. Crocodile Hunter is no longer with us, sadly.
That would be Steve Irwin.
Yes.
Who did not use a boomerang.
No, he did not.
Exactly.
Although he might have caught more crocs that way.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for putting up with my bullshit tonight, folks. We will catch you next time here inside the podcast organization without a cool acronym.
But wait, there's more!
If you look at your Skype window at the very bottom, you have mute, you have an arrow key, you have the camera, you have the end call
key. And a big throbbing heart.
Yeah, the big throbbing heart. Every time I roll over that, unless I move away from it, it stays there and it shows you the throbbing heart, the thumbs up, the old face from fucking Office Space. And I'm like, no, don't re.
Face. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm gonna show her my old face.
I can't unsee that.
Oh,
that's why he's got a big smile. Mm-hmm. Speaking of my wife, give me a second.
Mm-hmm. Good thing I can edit this.
She said the kids are like tiptoeing around because they're afraid that if it's loud that it's going to come through on the podcast. And I'm like, I don't hear them at all. I got my headset on.
Yeah.
Lance just got a train that goes by every 5 minutes. I'm sure the kids aren't being any louder than a train.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
12 years in the making. After 6 top 100 countdowns, the Geekcast Radio Network, along with 33 participants, are launching our top 100 Transformers characters countdown. August 8th, 2021. 35 years after Transformers the movie was released. Don't be the only con left out of this one, folks. Because, really, whether you're a Predacon or a Decepticon, you want to be at the top. Right, Megatron?
Yes.
Tune in to Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown from August 8th through September 17th, 2021. 6 parts, 6 Constructicons. Learn who will fall and where they will fall, because one always falls. Transform and transcend here with us on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why nobody love Waspinator?
Unless you'd like to join us all for some chocolate triple layer cake.
Yay!